Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I am so excited for an interview we have coming up here for you all here in a few minutes. Good friend of the program, Brian Shelton, was out on a walk near his neighborhood, out towards South Kansas City, think Leawood, think Martin City, okay?
Yep.
And he posted this online a couple nights ago. He came across a very simple gravestone, flat, flush to the ground, that reads, Horse Thief, 1898.
The Horse Thief.
1898. And so he posts this photo with a very funny comment that I cannot repeat on the air. And it turns out there is an entire article that they've written in the Martin City Telegraph about this horse thief that died right there in 1898. And so we reached out to our friends in Martin City and said, hey, can you connect us with Diane Houston? Yes, that Houston, Prairie Village Houston's hardware, who wrote this story about the horse thief and give us the background. She immediately replied, I would love to come on your show and tell your listeners about the horse thief. I cannot wait for this interview.
On this relatively small marker.
Tiny.
That simply reads, The Horse Thief, 1898. It's at Santa Fe Cemetery off Santa Fe Trail. What do you notice in that picture?
Well, it looks like it's been cleared. There's a little area around it that's been cleared.
Oh, it's right in front of you. Look at it again.
There's flowers.
Yes.
That someone has left.
People leave flowers at, later on in the article, it says people routinely
leave flowers.
Leave flowers on the horse thief's
grave. Maybe he was just misunderstood.
Well, he died.
Was this vigilante justice? We will talk about it at 3:15. Because okay. I think, you know, back then, that was before modern day policing.
Yeah. You remember Asteroid 2024 YR4?
Right.
The one that had a slight chance of hitting the Earth. Considered the highest impact risk to Earth.
Who could forget it?
Ever recorded. It is back in the spotlight, this time due to a slight increase in the chance that it could hit the moon in 2032.
The moon.
That is correct.
Can we please pull up? Oh my God, what's Steve Carell, the cartoon? I cannot stop. It's one of the funniest cartoons out there.
Despicable Me?
I'm going to steal
the moon.
Despicable
Me. They have revised its possible impact rate on the moon in 2032 from 3.8% to 4.3%.
Oh. Do they know these ridiculous percentages?
Dana,
they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Dana, they hit an asteroid with something the size of a refrigerator.
And now for this week's NASA maintaining its relevancy story.
We're doomed. I'm sort of with Sam. And look, I think NASA does great work and the super smart people work there. But how come there's one in the stack every week that we're all going to die, the asteroid's going to hit, and then it's like, ah, now we're changing the percentages. No, it's not. Either tell me I can run up my credit cards or don't.
And a near miss of 1.7 million miles. Come on down.
You are not a fan of NASA, are you?
You are the next contestant. No, I think they do some fantastic work, as Dana mentioned. They are incredibly smart people. I could not even pretend to be close to that level of brain power. But also to her point, it seems like every other week we are going to have a catastrophic world-ending event. And then yeah. 3 weeks
down,
later,
people.
They
Stand
say,
down.
Hey, you remember that asteroid that was going to kill us in 2 weeks? We miscalculated.
You got to carry the one, Sam.
That decimal point was supposed to be over there. We put it over here. Everybody's fine. Go back to normal.
Do you guys want to do terrible jokes today? It's been a while.
Yeah, I do.
3:45?
Can I get us started with a little something?
Did you bring one?
Maybe.
Oh, boy. I am good with 3:45.
3:45 for terrible jokes. All right.
Did I tell you I was sitting around eating dinner last night? I realized that cottage cheese is not actually in reality cheese.
Really? Huh.
It's just occurred to me.
Get out.
I will not.
Get out.
That is a winner. Put that on your mantle.
Struggled with the punchline just a little bit, but I see where you were going. It just occurred to me.
To me. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
They must be terrible, but arable.
Yes, and so you can go ahead and start sending them in right now. We'll get to it at 3:45. The text line is 913-586-7798. The wife of accused Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Hoyerman says he is her hero.
What?
And that it was like falling in love with him all over again when she saw him for the first time behind bars.
Okay, well, we need to get that woman a therapist.
Asa Ellerup, 61, said during an explosive interview in the upcoming Peacock docuseries, The Gilgo Beach Killer, House of Secrets, that she is convinced that police have the wrong guy. And that her wonderful husband is not the monster who killed and mutilated 7 sex workers on Long Island over 30
and the,
years.
And the one in quadrillion DNA match to all of those women is just, did NASA get that wrong too?
Starts airing on Tuesday. I don't think NASA was involved in the investigation.
I don't think they had to be.
She said, and I quote, "I know what bad men are capable of doing. I've seen it. And I've heard it from other men. Not my husband.
Okay.
You have the wrong man.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt.
I want him to come back home to me. They're still trying to sit there and tell me that, but I have no knowledge of what they keep talking about. Oh, you must have known. Know what? My husband was home here. He's a family man.
Yeah, while you were away. Do you notice that every single murder lines up when she was out of town?
Yes, of course. He is my hero.
Oh, God.
There were times where he was working, but I'd call him. And he would come by and pick me up.
Yeah. It's so hot, he always smelled like chloroform.
She did file for divorce shortly after her husband's arrest.
And sex and death.
But their daughter maintained in the documentary that the move was just to protect assets.
Okay, can I ask you, when you look at these men and the women who at one time loved them.
Well, she still does.
I think there is a small percentage of women who truly did not know. I think the other percent knew something was not right and were either being
willfully ignorant.
Yes, were either being emotionally or physically abused or both. Like when you're told you're not allowed to go in certain rooms in the home that you share.
BTK.
Yeah. Let's please like dissect what was going on there when there are mementos of the women behind locked doors. Like, see, I think there's some motivational blindness there.
I don't
there.
Think John E. Robinson's ex-wife knew what was going on. I think he tricked her. I think BTK's wife was willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
She knew something wasn't right, but didn't want to know. And then you've got gals like...
She's crazy.
Asa Ellerup. Yeah, she's
That
nuts.
Elevator is not going all the way to the top.
Not anymore. Nope. Not anymore. When we get back, The Horse Thief, 1898.
Don't you go stealing a horse around here.
In Santa Fe Cemetery.
This town will take care of it.
Here in Kansas City. We'll talk about that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Sp- Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So our buddy Brian Shelton was on a walk not far from his home, and he was in the new Santa Fe Cemetery, and he stumbled upon a grave marker that just says, "The Horse Thief, 1898. And he posted the picture on Facebook. Well, Dana did a little work today and tracked down a story from the Martin City Telegraph, written by Diane Houston, who wrote about this grave marker, The Horse Thief. No name. Just The Horse Thief, 1898. And Diane joins us on the KMBZ hotline. Diane, hello. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Who is The Horse Thief? Do we know?
We don't know exactly who he is, but I grew up just down the street from that cemetery. And as a kid, I absolutely loved going up to the cemetery and check out the old graves and everything. It's really where I developed my love of history. And in the northwest corner of the cemetery, when I was a kid, it was a different marker than today. Now it's like a fancy granite marker. Yeah. Back when I was a kid, it was like a rickety old, like etched in stone type marker. And the horse thief always had flowers on his grave. And so as I developed into the historian I am today, that was one of the first things I wanted to find out about, is who in the world was this horse thief? Because who marks a grave for someone who stole a bunch of horses?
Right.
That was the fascination. So it has been a goal of mine to kind of figure this out. And we don't know exactly who he is, but we do know a little bit about him, you know, kind of explored through some of the old timers that lived in the neighborhood.
Whose horse did he steal? Do we know?
We do not know. But what we do know is that the McKinney family was very, you know, back in this day, the town where this cemetery is was called New Santa Fe. It was established in 1851 on the Santa Fe Trail. And the cemetery really runs through where the original Santa Fe Trail was. The cemetery is much newer than the trail itself. And the story went that the McKinneys said, you know, when there was a guy who stole a horse, probably, you know, they didn't give a time period, but a guy stole a horse. And you have to realize back in the day, that was a huge
crime.
Theft.
Yeah.
You know, that was like the worst you could possibly do besides like maybe arson or murder. Like stealing someone's horse was stealing their livelihood. And so they had these anti-horse thief associations of people, basically vigilante justice, because you didn't have sheriffs in town and stuff like that. So they would just take it upon themselves to you know, have trials on the spot, if you will. And so what we do know is that the McKinneys were involved, and their family is the one who relayed this story to me. So I know it's true because they told me the truth after all these years.
Yeah.
So somebody stole a horse, and they, of course, find him. And then they strung him up right by the cemetery next to onto a tree. And, you know, that was the end of the horse thief. But they didn't actually bury him in the cemetery, I found out later, because they said they didn't want a thief inside their cemetery. So they buried him on the spot, right by the cemetery. I could point out where it is. But they buried him on the spot. But then, you know, the women felt a little guilty. This is a Christian community with a church in the neighborhood and all of this. And so they ended up marking it with a rock originally in the north, the furthest corner possible in the cemetery. And that was just like, that's the horse thief's grave. And so every decoration day, anytime you laid flowers on graves, you know, you had to also put flowers on the horse thief's grave. And to be clear, to this day, I'm 45 years old. I've yet to be up there and there aren't flowers on that grave. So it's still happening today.
Wow.
So the truth be told was that after I kind of got a little bit more information out of them, they finally admitted, they said, I said, where's the day 1898 come from? You know, like, that's pretty specific.
And yeah.
We put that because it sounded okay, because it really happened in like the 1900s, but it sounded better to have it be in the last century. So, who knows exactly? I'm going to think it's probably the 1920s even.
Because they were embarrassed. They were, I don't want to say like guilty. You feel guilty that this happened over the theft of a horse?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think it happened when, of course, automobiles were at this point around, but it was still a big deal. And New Santa Fe at that point was a defunct town, and the nearest town was Martin City. And Martin City would have had a sheriff or, you know, somebody, an appointed sheriff in the neighborhood. But these guys were, you know, this is born and bred. These people had been in the neighborhood since the 1850s. Their family had been on that land for so long. So they felt vigilante justice was the way to do it. And the women later on were like, maybe not. So that's where this whole horse thief grave came from. So he's actually not buried right underneath it, because they thought that holy ground.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve that. But they, you know, when they did go back and mark some of their other family members in the cemetery, they paid for that marker to be
made.
So that's why it's this beautiful granite, red granite marker today.
So his body is not beneath the marker.
He's about 25 yards to the east.
Off the
cemetery.
And is the actual gravesite marked at all, Diane?
Not that where that original, where he fell.
Wow.
No. But it's protected because it's really near the ruts of the Santa Fe Trail. So he's outside of the cemetery gate, but it's in land that really is, you know, I would call it protected.
But
land.
Diane, to be clear, we don't even know for sure that this man stole a horse. They were judge, jury, and executioner.
100%. That's just how it went back in those days. There's stories I tracked from even other neighbors, if you will, like where Verona Hills subdivision is where this happened. So this is at between close to 122nd and the Santa Fe Trail.
No way.
Yeah. And so these people live in this neighborhood, and an earlier settler who owned that land was Marcus Gill. And he did the same thing in 1871, and it's in the newspaper. He's like, somebody stole my horse. I'm going to find him. It was like $50 for recovery of the horse, $150 if you bring me the guy. And they went down to Pleasant Hill, found him, and he did not make it back out. Whoever this horse thief was, he was strung up on the Blue River. So this is like, I know it sounds horrible. We have to laugh a little bit about what this frontier justice looked like. But that's the type of mentality that you had in this neighborhood, even though the community around it was growing. You know, you had new people in the neighborhood.
The fact that they had an anti-horse thief association, Diane, is there was an association, Scott, called the Anti-Horse Thief Association.
I believe it.
And they took it upon themselves to go after these guys.
Do we know?
100%. And they did it. They did it by advertising. One of the local newspapers that is pretty well documented, where you can still look up some of this stuff, is the Olathe Mirror newspaper. And you have to understand, for the South Kansas City area, between Belton and Olathe, those would have been the larger newspapers of the time, and even Harrisonville. So we can track more of our news from that side to the South Kansas City area versus the Kansas City Times or the Journal or anything like that. So they were openly advertising in 1860s and 70s, like Horse Thief Association, join us, you know, reward upon, you know, return of these horses. It was a big deal back in the day.
Do we know, Diane, who is placing these flowers still to this day on a grave that doesn't even have a real name, and this person isn't even really technically buried underneath it? He's 25 yards away, and yet more than 100 years later, somebody is still placing flowers.
100%. Well, I'm guilty.
You did.
I'm guilty.
You did.
I've done it before. Huh. I've done it before, but that was, it's because it's now almost like legend and lore of the neighborhood. And so, you know, I've given field trips to second graders learning about the Santa Fe Trail, and that they don't care about anything, the history. They're like, where's that horse thief you were talking about? It is, you know, kind of a neighborhood thing. But really, the people who maintain and continue to put flowers, and if you ever go up there, the cemetery is beautiful. It's well-maintained. But the people who actually have family members buried in there, they know, just if they're going to, you know, Helen's grave, who's one of the McKinneys, you know, they're going to her grave, they're going to bring extra flowers to do what she would have done, which was put flowers on the horse thief's grave.
Fascinating.
It's crazy.
It is so fascinating because they wanted the vigilante justice if they thought you stole a horse, but like they were just religious enough that, you know what, maybe we should at least give some flowers and a tombstone to the guy.
But, you know, like, I guess, guilt got to them. And I wonder if it wasn't the women, you know, versus the men or however it was. But they certainly passed on that story. If you think about it, if it was in the late teens, 20s, the people, and I know who told the story, he was born in 1857 and didn't die until, I think, 1957. So, like, right at the Ruskin Heights tornado era. And so he was in that neighborhood for years. And so he told his kids and his kids told me, basically. So, you could say there's some legend and lore, but there's a real story behind it. And, you know, there really was a horse thief and he really does have a grave. And, you know, who knows whose family? They're wondering what happened to that guy, you know. Like, what happened to Uncle Ned?
Right? Yeah,
well, he's over here.
Where did he go?
Yeah.
Diane Houston, you are an incredible historian for our town. We would love to have you back on the program. You write for the Martin City Telegraph. It does a podcast with our Bob Fesco, Scott.
Yeah, I love
Bob. You are just a dictionary of phenomenal knowledge about our history.
I appreciate it. I'd love to come back on and talk more crazy Kansas City history.
Look forward to it. You take care.
You too. Thanks.
All right, that's Diane Houston with the Martin City Telegraph.
Listen real quick to a little bit of a sentence from the original newspaper article. An individual whose name we did not learn was arrested here yesterday and taken back to Johnson County on a charge of horse stealing. He stole a saddle, a harness, and then started for the city. On his way up, managed to confiscate two horses, one belonging to a white man, the other to a Delaware Indian. It was thought by some that Mr. Horse Thief would never reach Johnson County again. Well, he's here now.
As it was well known that Judge Lynch is on the lookout for that class of scoundrels.
From the Leavenworth Times. You dirty scoundrel.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what they could do is exhume.
I was just going to say the same thing.
They could exhume the horse thief because he's not even buried in the cemetery.
Nope.
I don't know who owns the property where he still is. but it's 25 yards to the east, she said, of his grave marker. Why not exhume him? And now that we know through 23andMe and, you know, all these other genealogy sites, figure out who his family was.
Here's what we're going to do. We are going to reach out to the archaeology department at the University of Kansas. Do you remember they have an entire group of undergraduates, and I think some graduate students,
grave robbers,
working to look and uncover the Bloody Benders case, the first known serial killers way, 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 way back, the Bender family, as pioneers were coming through looking for land and gold going west. They are meticulously mapping out the site where that family lived, and you know they're believed to have killed 20 or 50. They don't even know how many.
This is one in central Kansas.
Yes, they don't even know how many men lay dead there. So they were mapping that. Mm-hmm. We will reach out to them, hook them up with Diane Houston, and see if they would be interested in taking that on as a project, because I don't think it would be to unearth those remains and get answers as to what happened, I feel like would be a service and not, what is the word I'm looking for? People are generally uncomfortable with the exhumation process.
I would not be in this case, and here's why.
What if he didn't do anything wrong? Well,
there's always that possibility that he was perfectly innocent. You know, back then it wasn't the way it is. I mean, Alabama is going to execute somebody tonight who's been on death row for 37 years. 37. Back then, it was, we're going to try you, we're going to convict you, and we're going to kill you in the same day. Maybe he didn't do anything wrong. And even if he did, his crime was horse stealing.
Which was a serious offense back then, but not judge, jury, executioner. We're going to hang you from a tree.
Your life is over. Your parents will never see you come home again, and I hope you don't have kids.
That is the way the law was written at the time.
Well, I understand that, but that doesn't make it right.
Have you seen the photo or the caricature of the men chasing, quote, the horse thief, Sam? It's glorious.
I have not, no.
It's two men with a pitchfork, and one of them, there's a word bubble above his head, and it says, "Stop, thief!" And the, quote, horse thief is, he looks like Abraham Lincoln. And his top hat, he is running away on a horse. His top hat has blown off his head. He has nice striped pants and a sport coat on. Hmm. He looks like Abraham Lincoln. Look at that. Stop, thief!
Yeah.
They just decided that if your crime was stealing someone's livestock, we will take care of it.
But I wonder in 2025, let me just say this very quickly, Sam, if I could, and then please jump in. In 2025, does this man, whomever he is, A, not deserve to be identified, and B, not deserve a proper burial under his own headstone?
100%.
In the cemetery.
Why do you think the townspeople are still putting flowers on that grave? It's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to provide some context into why it was a death penalty situation back then. You were literally stealing their livelihood.
Yeah.
You couldn't call up Uber Horse to take you to work because somebody stole your horse.
No,
you couldn't work in the fields if you didn't have your horse.
I get that, but we don't give out the death penalty if somebody, and I'm not saying that this is okay because it's not. If somebody burns down a business, arson.
I agree.
They don't get the death penalty for that.
I was just providing some context.
You go to prison. You go to prison for a long time.
But what would be the reason behind it other than our own personal satisfaction to identify him to...
Because we want to, right or wrong, have more respect for the dead, Sam. And I think that's why people are still to this day, down generations, putting flowers on his grave. Because there's always that chance. Our town did this. Mm-hmm. It was in the newspaper. No one batted an eye. What if we were wrong?
And there's a chance that they were. I mean, look at that story.
Mm.
A horse thief whose name we didn't bother to get.
The scoundrel.
I mean,
scoundrel.
You want to talk about biased? There's not a single alleged in there. Can you imagine if it was today? He'd be suing. I didn't do it.
Well, he wouldn't be suing because he's 6 feet under.
He's dead. Yeah, I understand. I got it.
Then he'd be the litigious horse thief. Awkward.
Speaking of crime and punishment, attorneys for Sean Diddy Combs have once again had their push for a mistrial in his sex crimes case denied, second time in as many weeks. The embattled music mogul's legal team's latest request for a mistrial has been rejected by the judge. This happened earlier today. The judge said the defense's arguments for a mistrial were not convincing, and the points they made were not fodder for a mistrial, but rather the adversarial process at work.
Okay. Tell me you're not confident in your case without telling me you're not confident in your case.
Jurors in Harvey Weinstein's sex crimes retrial appear to be moving past some interpersonal tensions.
Well, that was going to fisticuffs yesterday.
And focusing on one of his three accusers as deliberations stretched into a fourth day earlier today. At the end of yesterday's session, as we told you on the air, jurors requested to start off Tuesday with electronic copies of emails and other evidence pertaining to Jessica Mann, the accuser with arguably the most complex history with Mr. Weinstein.
What happened yesterday that I think we need to underscore this just for the purpose of this conversation is that the four-person on the jury went to the judge and said, people are ganging up, forming alliances, and commandeering the deliberation process by bringing up
things that were not presented as evidence.
But are known to be maybe factual from other trials of his. And that is accurate. You're not supposed to look at what he's already been convicted of. And there were these alliances forming saying, look, he's guilty. We know he's guilty. He's already been convicted in this case.
From the Associated Press, a man convicted of beating a woman to death nearly 37 years ago is scheduled to be executed tonight in Alabama in what will be the nation's sixth execution with nitrogen gas. Gregory Hunt scheduled to be put to death this evening at a South Alabama prison. He was convicted of killing Karen Lane, a woman that he had been dating for only a month. She was the cousin of his roommate. The Alabama execution is one of four scheduled for this week in the United States. Executions are also scheduled in Florida and South Carolina. A judge in Oklahoma yesterday issued a temporary stay for an execution in that state, but the state attorney general is seeking to have it lifted. Lane was only 32 when she was killed in 1988. Okay. We're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday coming up in just a moment. It has been several weeks since we've done this. We need your arable but terrible jokes sent into our text line at 913-586-7798. It has to be clean. Keep that in mind. Arable. But it has to be terrible. Read that dad joke. 913-586-7798. Terrible Joke Tuesday when we return here on Dana and Parks. It is time for Terrible Joke Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, where the jokes have to be arable, but they have to be terrible. 913-586-7798. I can see you are just itching to start.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah, what's up?
Tell you, I was walking down the road last night. It was so weird. I passed an apple pie, an ice cream sundae, and a lemon cheesecake.
Really?
I thought the streets are strangely deserted tonight.
Sam, you didn't claim the Zoom meeting story, did you?
I did not, no.
Okay, good. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Did I tell you I told a joke on a Zoom meeting today?
No.
Yeah, no one laughed. Turns out I'm not remotely funny.
Hey, Dana.
Yes?
Did I tell you that what my yoga instructor said when I asked him to leave my house?
No.
Namaste.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
I have a friend who really likes to count.
Okay.
I wonder what he's up to.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
I asked my wife if I was the only one she'd ever slept with. She said, no, the others were sevens and eights.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
You know, I was on a flight the other day, and a fellow passenger of mine asked the flight attendant, how often do planes crash?
Huh.
The flight attendant said, usually just once.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Dana.
What is the most groundbreaking invention of all time?
I don't know.
The shovel.
Okay. Hey, Dana.
Yes.
I got my grandma on speed dial.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, now I call her Instagram. I'll see myself out.
Please do.
Man, some Sam, of these are not arable.
Yet. I know.
Sam, how do lumberjacks know how many trees they've cut down?
I don't know.
They keep a log.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, what's up, Sam?
Here. What do you call a Frenchman wearing sandals?
I don't know.
Felipe Falape.
Yes, that is correct. Hey, Sam.
Yeah?
What kind of shoes do frogs wear?
But I don't know.
Open-toed.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Dana.
What did Bert's wife say when he asked her if she wanted dessert?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Sure, Bert.
Good Lord. Hey, Dana.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I got this new book and I've been reading it? It's about anti-gravity.
Huh.
No.
I just can't seem to put it down.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Which of your birthdays only lasts 1 minute?
Which one?
The 62nd. I'm out.
Got it.
Okay.
Well, that's not awful.
Can I tell this one?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go ahead and assume no.
Yeah, you can read that one.
Sam. I'm not laughing. Sam?
Yes?
Do you know why the Siamese twins moved to England?
Why?
So the other one could drive.
You said yes to that one?
Yeah, I'm about to say yes to the necrophiliac joke, too.
No!
I think we can do that one. I don't think that crosses the line at all.
Okay. I mean,
Go ahead.
Scott, where do pirates get their hooks?
Gee, I don't know.
At the second hand store.
Okay. If you don't want me to read the necrophiliac joke, I won't.
I mean, if you like your job.
Sam, what did the nuclear energy plant's night watchman say?
I don't know.
Stop! Who glows there?
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
What did the cat do when it wanted to stop the show?
I don't know.
It hit the pause button.
Oh, God.
Hey, Dana.
Yes?
What kind of computer is... This is an oldie but a goodie. What kind of computer is the best singer?
What kind of computer is the best singer?
Adele.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't let me read the necrophiliac joke, and so I had to find another one in short order.
Hey, Scott.
Sam.
Why did Adele cross the street?
I don't know.
To say, hello from the other side.
Hey, Sam.
Yeah?
Did you hear about the gang going around attacking groups of clowns?
No.
Yeah, they go straight for the juggler.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
What is it called when a chameleon can't change colors?
I don't know.
A reptile dysfunction. That was terrible. Hey, Dana.
Yes?
From 7488. Why did the cat run from the tree?
Why?
Because of its bark.
Okay. Hey, Sam.
What?
What do you call a pea that has fallen off its fork?
I don't know.
An escape pea.
Mm-mm. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
What do you call the nosiest kind of pepper?
I don't know.
And the one that gets hollop in your business.
Your delivery this week, I'm going to be honest with you, man. In the past, it's been sometimes C- to B+.
Uh-huh.
It's an A today.
Thank you.
Your delivery is on target.
No, text line, we are not going to read the necrophiliac joke.
I can't. Well,
the punchline is, I'm alive.
Okay.
Figure out the rest.
Okay. I don't want to do that. How can you tell when a bucket gets sick, Scott?
I don't know.
It becomes a little pale. Sam, why did the octopus blush?
I don't know.
It saw the ocean's bottom.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam. What's going on,
where
buddy?
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden
leg?
Well,
Sam, I don't know. Where do ye?
Right where ye left
ye. We got the news coming up in exactly 2 minutes. Stand by for that. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.